Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
All right. Great time to be in the house of God together, isn't it? Well, actually, to be the house of God together. Sometimes we point to the brick and the molding and we say, well, that's the house of God. No, look around. We are. Everybody say, we are. Yeah, we are the house of God. When we come together, and this is one of my pet phrases, and you know what? I'm going to say it again. A divine conspiracy. You've heard of conspiracy theories, haven't you? This is conspiracy fact. There's a divine conspiracy here between the pastor and people of Vision Church and the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So we're going to have a great time this morning. And then tonight, I want to urge you to come out 6 o'clock up in Hazlitt. We're going to get several congregations together. Several Assemblies of God churches are going to get together. And we could have 200-300 people. And we'll have Brother Dale Everett ministering there as well. This is one of those gifts. If you have them around, you got to share them, right? God gives givers gifts to give. How many of you heard that? How many of you heard Rex Bornman? That's one of those Bornmanisms. I wouldn't mind putting it on a poster and hanging it on the wall. God gives givers gifts to give. Well, I want to be a giver, and I love to share. And so we're going to do that tonight. We have a special treat with us this morning. It's really one of those conspiracies to get Dale in town for me, as well as for you, and for the churches here in the area, and to maximize that. And he has with his wife this morning, Debbie. Debbie's here. So would you let her know that you're glad she's here? She'll be ministering right towards the end of the service, probably with some altar music and some singing. But without any further ado, I'm ready for my friend, my brother, Dale Everett, to come. And would you just open your hearts and let him know you appreciate him as he comes this morning to minister?
Thank you, my friend. God bless you. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. How nice to be back. Some of you didn't know I was here before. Some of you said he'd left. I did. Your pastor is a great guy and wife. I love them. We have developed such a friendship. And we have the same heart. We want to see Jesus show himself among us. Because whenever Jesus comes, something special always happens, doesn't it? It will happen today for you. Amen. Sister, nice job in leading worship. Again, we so appreciate you and the team here each day as you give of your heart to the Lord. Psalms 107 in verse 9. You have scripture with you? Maybe you'll stand with me. I'm going to read 3 verses from the Bible. Let you stretch your legs for a minute. Psalms 107, verse 9. And these won't be consecutive reads from one passage, but I'll go to Luke 1:53 and then Luke 6:21. I might even add Matthew 5:6 to this. It'll show you where we're going today. Psalms 107, verse 9 says, "For he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness." Looking in Luke 1:53, says he fills the hungry with good things. How many like good things? All right. Luke 6:21 says, "Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be filled." I like something solid and positive, don't you? And then Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. There have been periodic times in my life that God has come and spoken something to me. Now, I've heard the voice of the Lord on various occasions. I do not think it odd when someone says that. I don't find it hard to believe when someone says that, because we have a God who is a communicator. We have a talking God. His name is the Word. Why would we not expect him to be speaking, all right? So you know, I've heard, you know, someone not long ago in the media talked about our vice president saying God had said something to him. And they said, "Oh, my God, the vice president thinks God talks to him." And I'm thinking to myself, and their idea was they were worried about people who says that God talks to them. And I'm thinking, I'm worried about people who says he doesn't. I mean, all through Scripture, he's a talking God. He's been speaking to people all along. Why would he be any different today? But anyhow, I don't know how it's worked with you, but there are times in my life that God will come and will say the same thing to me. Not something different, the same thing to me. And there is something in particular that he has said over the years. Now, it doesn't happen every week. It doesn't happen every month, thank God. It doesn't even happen every year. I don't even know if it has happened. Well, the last time it happened to me that I remember, we were pastoring in Tyler. So that's quite a while ago. It's been more than 10 years ago. But it will be. Have you ever had God say something to you more than once? Same thing, something that would be repetitive. All right. And it will usually happen to me when I'm walking into the building to find my seat. That's when it will take place. And it makes no difference whether I'm preaching or whether I'm not preaching. That's irrelevant. But it will happen before service begins and by the time I'm finding where I'm going to sit down. And this is what he'll do. He'll say to me, Dale, you can have as much as you want. Now, it sounds like that he's saying you're going to win the lottery tonight. Get ready, okay? That's not really what he's saying. This is what he's saying, because he'll go on. He'll say, Dale, you can have as much as you want, but do you want anything? In other words, is there any burn? Is there any desire? Is there any hunger within your soul? Or, hello, have you just come in here on autopilot? Have you just come in here brain dead? And that's why I say it doesn't happen every week, every month, thank God, or every year. But it happens that I find myself where I come into the place of worship, and quite frankly, I don't know what's going on. I'm not expecting squat. It's not that I'm in unbelief. It's not that I've had a bad day. It's not that I'm going through a struggle. But I don't know. You just kind of come in out of routine, and he's like saying, "Hello, wake up! Hey, come on! Hey, do you want anything, Dale? Or you can have what." You can have whatever you want, but is there any burn within your soul? I said to the pastor in the office a moment ago that I'm not so much concerned about people's faith level as I am their hunger level. Not that I disrespect faith or don't understand things about faith. I believe in the working of faith within our life. I understand the priority that faith brings to us. And if you've heard me speak before, if you picked up any of our materials, you know that I speak a lot in reference to faith. But I find that before one will ever enter into a place of faith, there must be a hunger, a drive, a desire within their heart. I'm way more concerned about a person's hunger level than I am the faith level within their life. Jesus said it so plainly, and I paraphrase it. It's found in all of the scriptures that we read. Basically, the idea is it's the hungry and the thirsty that get it. That's what happens. It's the hungry and the thirsty. It's not those that are the most well-advised. It's not those that are the deepest in theology. It's not those that have super evangelists come around and touch them with the mighty hand. It's legal to smile once on a Sunday morning. Some of you still holding off. You're good. You're good for one yet. It's the hunger of one's soul that brings them to a place of the divine encounter with the Almighty God. You know, hunger, when you think about it, hunger is many things, and one thing for sure is it is an indication of health. People like me, and some of you as well, pastor would definitely be in the category. Anyone that's worked in the health industry understands. If you've watched someone come down to the last days of their life, one of the indications that you're approaching that, or if you're dealing with someone that has come into an illness, a significant illness within their life, one indication can very well be a loss of hunger. I remember being in the hospital room some years ago. When I walked into the room, there was an elderly gentleman there in the bed. His son was over on a chair to the side, and right is, I mean, almost behind me, as soon as I came in the attending physician, and he spoke to the elder son as though the man wasn't even present, and he said, your father's going to die, but he doesn't have to die now. He could actually leave this hospital. The problem is that he won't eat. Now, the reason why he was saying it to the son and not to the man, because he'd already gone over and over and over again with the man and wasn't getting anywhere. And the guy responded, he said, I'm not going to starve myself. I eat when I'm hungry. Well, the problem was he was hardly eating anything at all. And he said to him, if he doesn't start eating, he will not recover from what he's got. But because of that loss of appetite with all the rest that was going through, he actually expired within just a few days of that time. I'm going to tell you that hunger in many cases is an indication of health within our life. Some of us are very, very healthy. Hunger is also a prime motivator and a drive. I'm talking about hunger today. You know, science will tell us that that one of the strongest drives in the human being is that of hunger and that of thirst. Those two right there kind of top everything else. I mean, we will say many times, well, I just couldn't live without air conditioning, but we have and we did for many years, you know. What do you think? We couldn't live with cushioned seats in the church, but we have. There's a lot of stuff we say we can't live without, but we can, you know. Now, we might not be happy about it, but we can live without it. But when people have gotten hungry, I mean, when they've really gotten hungry, not like I didn't get to eat lunch. Many of us in this nation don't even know what hunger looks like. We think we do, but we have no idea what hunger really looks like. Some of the places that I go to, It will break your heart. It'll rip your heart right out when you see what hunger can actually be. And I remember in one of our Kenyan crusades, and some of you know because I've been here before, we send teams out in addition to the mass crusades. We do a lot of activity, a lot of ministry apart from or in addition to the actual crusade itself. But we were feeding a small village. And no, we're not talking about thousands of people. Villages can be 50 people or 60 people or something like that. Sometimes it's only 25 or 30. But we were ministering in a small village. And in addition to ministering the word there, we will bring in food and other things as well. And so we had fed the entire village. And as one of the young girls was picking up the bowls from those that we had fed, she came to one of the elders in that village. Now, he would be about mid-60s. And you must understand that when you're outside of the immediate cultural cities in a third world country, when you get outside of that, when you get into what the general country is going to be like, in East Africa, I'm not sure about the rest of the continent, but in East Africa, where I spend not all my time, but a big part of my time, the average lifespan of a man will be 49 years of age. So he was in his 60s. He had excelled way beyond, and he was at a high honored position. So when the young lady came to pick up the bowl after we had served food to all and to everybody there, she said to him, I'm here to pick up the bowl, but not if you're not done yet. Have you finished? And he looked at her and he said these words that I will never forget. He said, yes, I have finished. And this is the first time in my life that I've eaten until I was no longer hungry. Wow. Yeah. And I thought, oh God, how many times have I sat down at the table and my primary prayer has been, help me not to eat so much that I can touch it. I wonder if I had a lung disease when I left the table because I couldn't breathe anymore. Hunger. It's a real drive. It's a real drive. Now, I'm not going to go far down this road at all, but history has shown us, and not far history from us, that when people get really hungry, they have done ridiculous things, even to resort to cannibalism. Hunger will drive you huge. I'm talking about hunger today. What is it? Well, in many cases, it's a great indication of health, and in other cases, it's a huge motivator and drive within an individual. I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the things of God, if you really want to know how to go to the next level, get hungry for it. Get hungry. That's what it's going to take. We live in a culture in which we are taught so much how important education is. And education does have value to it. But the problem is with Western culture is we get the idea that knowledge is the gateway to everything. And if we can understand it, if we can explain it, if we can comprehend it, then we can grab it. But actually, there are many things of God that do not come through the gateway of comprehension, but they come through the place of revelation that is so difficult to be able to articulate or even process with this natural mind that we need the help of the Holy Spirit even to have a clue of what in the world has just taken taken place in our life. But what brings us into this is not that we figured it out. It's not that we've analyzed it, dissected it, and therefore now have comprehended it. But it's because we hungered and thirst after it, and that's why that thing opened up on us. That's the reason why I say that I'm way more concerned about the hunger level of people, including the guy that's speaking to you, than I am any other one thing. When I really want to put a temperature gauge where I am in the things of God, I don't look at the size of my crowds. I don't look at the teaching that I am doing. I don't consider even the signs and wonders and miracles that are happening, the level of the display of the supernatural and our ministry. Not that I don't think that those have some form of indicator to it. They do, but they're a small indicator. When I really want to know where Dale Everett is at, I look at the hunger factor that is within my life. It's not a matter of whether I did pray today, did I desire to come into his presence. It wasn't a matter, did I read the scripture today, did I have a thirst to come in to this wonderful drink of the word of God and be filled with it, or did I just do it out of repetitiveness? Did I just read the book because I've got a schedule to read the book, and because I know that I should read the book, because it makes sense that I should read the book? All of that is plausible, but let me tell you something, if the hunger dimension is not there, then I become concerned about myself. I may not even be reading any more of this word. It's how is the approach to it, that I long for his presence, that I desire to hear his voice. Was there a pull within my heart to come into the place of prayer, or did I just do the thing that I think I should have done, and then, of course, did I do it at all? But I'm going to tell you, if you're out there, and I think you're probably on track with me right now, you're saying, I get it, preacher. I get exactly what you're talking about. And if you find yourself maybe in a place where you say, you know, I need to hunger more, or maybe I don't have any hunger at all in my life, I'm listening to you, dude, or it's not where it should be. Here's what I say to you. What you don't do is go out and whip yourself. You don't go out and beat yourself. That doesn't help create hunger. There's this huge desire within me, and that is not only to declare what is truth, but to know how to enter what that truth is. A lot of people will tell you things, they'll even preach things. They'll preach, this is what the Bible says, and this is what you can have in Christ Jesus, and this is why you should have this in Christ Jesus. And you think, yeah. And then they say, and goodbye. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait just a minute. You didn't tell me how to get it. You told me, you kind of dangled the carrot out there. You kind of made a good presentation, made a good pitch. All right, I'm with you, but how in the world do I get that thing? I want to know how to receive the things of God, not just believe the things of God. That was an amen spot, and I did get a over here. And I thought I heard a 3-decibel amen in the back. And so I'm going to go for it all the way. So if you have little to no hunger in your life, or if you have hunger but you say, I want more, and that's kind of where I'm at here right now, then I want to talk to you about some things that I think will create hunger within you. This isn't one of them. This just throws out the idea. I've heard it said all my life. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Until one old rancher said, that's not true. He said, you can give him a salt lick. All right. Well, may I pray that this will be a bit of a salt lick to you. All right. Come on. And you're supposed to be salt. There should be an element in your life that creates hunger in others, especially those that are close to you. Let me say that for husbands and wives, for mothers and fathers. There should be something in your life that when your family is in connection with you, it makes them hungry for a great thing of God. But here's the first one that I put down in my thoughts today, and that is this. If you have little to no hunger, if you want to have a greater hunger in God, then let me tell you up front, and I trust you'll hear me through on this. This is not a blow-off. This is not a religious statement that a preacher's supposed to say. But let me tell you about hunger. Hunger primarily, first of all, is a God thing. It is a God thing. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, the scripture says this. It is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I say it again. I want you to hear this now. It's a God thing. It is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That brings a lot of thoughts to mind. Now, some may think, well, there you go, then I have nothing to do with this at all. I could just lay back. God wants me hungry. He'll make me hungry. Well, you could take that approach, but I'm not sure you understand what the writer's saying there and what the Spirit is communicating there within that moment. But when I see great hunger that comes upon a community, I realize it has not happened because we have such a fancy church that they finally figured it out. But when I see something that stirs the community, and I've been reading about some of these things of late, the great revival that happened in Wales, when you look at what happened with Jonathan Edwards in the northeast of the United States, when you look at moments that happened like in Brownsville down in Florida or in Toronto, and you see in Brownsville, and Debbie and I was at that particular event, and this is what we found. We had friends there. We've heard about it. We are actually pastoring in Florida at the time. But because of our routine and involvement, we did not just get the run up. It was, 10 hours away from us to begin with. It wasn't exactly around the corner anyhow from where we lived. But when we finally got up, it had been going on for about 3 years. A revival that had been going on. It went 5 years. Many of you know about this one. It went 5 years. But it was 3 years at that point. When we arrived, there were more people. There were more people at 10 o'clock in the morning outside of that building than could sit inside once they would open the doors at the official opening. It was supposed to be at 7 o'clock that night. We arrived about 5 because they had a back door they could get us in. You know, wasn't it American Express for a while that had the little slogan that membership has its privileges? Well, if you wanted to know what was the benefit of being a member of the Brownsville Assembly of God at that time? If you were a card-carrying member, then you got to go in the side door an hour and a half before service would begin, because once they opened that door a little before service time, there would be more people in there than should be in the building, and the overflows would be completely full. They had a smaller sanctuary that would seat 1,000. It was stacked out. They had a cafeteria for the school that I don't know how many you could sit in there, because they didn't sit. They stood literally back to back like this and watched a monitor. It was jammed full. And then people on the outside looking to get in. And this went on for 5 years. Now, some people said, well, you know, they were great. They had great promotion. You know, they had a lot of stuff going through the social networks. They had this and that. And I just told them straight out, whether you thought it was a move of God or not, here's the deal. Anybody that can promo something like that, are you listening to me? Anybody that's got a PR head on them that can fill an auditorium like that for 5 years, rain or shine, every day of the year, I want to high-five that boy, and I want to hire him. When I look at that and people say, what do you think that was all about? I'm going to tell you, hands down, that was a God thing. There's nobody, and I say this with huge respect of everybody that was involved, but there's nobody that good. There's not a singer that's that good. There's not a speaker that's that good. Do you understand? That's a God moment right there. And hunger at the level that I'm right now talking about is a God matter. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So you say, well, then what do you do, Dale? You just sit back and say, I guess then if it's ever going to happen, he'll just drag me into this. That is not how it takes place. But I'll tell you how it can happen for you. And if it's not you, maybe you say, man, I have this kind of burn, but my spouse doesn't, my kids don't, they have no interest whatsoever. What do I do? Just wait around for God to do it? No, here's what you do. You get on your face before the Lord, because you know he's the key in this. And you pull upon heaven in that way. You call upon his name. You cry out unto him to create that hunger. Come on, God, we need you to create that hunger within our spouses. We need you to create that hunger, are you listening, within our children. We need you to create that hunger within our grandchildren. We need you to create that hunger within our church. We need you to create that hunger within our city. We need you to create that hunger within our county. Is anyone in the room right now? We need you to create that hunger within our state and within our nation. And to bring that kind of desire upon the earth today. It is God. It is God. You can have confidence in him. He desires to bring this into your life. He really has a hunger, can I put it that way, to see you come into the table, to sit down at the table with him. It is God. When you pray that, you're not moving an uncaring, unnoticing, dormant God. You're stepping into harmony with who he is and what he is like. You are indeed praying according to the will of God. And when that thing begins to happen, there's a draw that happens between heaven and earth that is absolutely powerful and marvelous. Hunger, it's the key. It's what shows health within our life. It's what creates health within our life. It's what puts us in a drive that gets us over every kind of obstacle. It's God that works in you, both the will and to do. That's why I say when I want to take the temperature of Dale Everett, I look at the hunger level in my life. You want to look at a work of God? Well, okay. So I like answers to prayer. I like whatever the other indicators of measurement of success are, but here's what I'm really looking for. Where's my hunger and desire for him? Where's the burn? All right, there's another thing that helps create hunger within our lives. And I'm gonna throw a. It's a biblical word out at you, a theological word. Don't get thrown by it. It's not a deep one. You've all heard it. You just don't hear much of it anymore. But it's called sanctification. Sanctification. Let's talk about sanctification for a minute, because for a lot of people, depending on where you've grown up, sanctification is nothing more than a rule, a set of what you don't get to do. For some of us that grew up in church, we used to say that when people ask us what we believe, our answer was, well, we don't believe in this or that, or we don't believe in doing this, or we sure don't believe in going there. We knew more what we didn't believe than what we do believe. That's not the case any longer. How are you thinking? But for a lot of people, the idea of sanctification had to do with rules and regimentation and legalism. It had to do with what we were told we had to separate ourselves from, which is a portion of the truth. It's not the entire truth. And I'm not here to teach you all about what sanctification means, but sanctification, let me put it in a nutshell within my vocabulary, it is a separation from that you may be separated unto. It is a separation from that you may be separated unto. So if you're separated from, but you never come into, then you really haven't been sanctified. You just got cut out and you're weird. Israel, for example, the purpose of God delivering Israel from Egypt was not to deliver Israel from Egypt. The reason why he delivered them from Egypt was to bring them into the land of promise. That was the goal. The only reason why he delivered them from Egypt is because they had to get out of Egypt in order to get into the land of promise. Are you hearing that? So you couldn't be in the land of promise and be in the land of Egypt because it didn't work that way. So you had to come out of Egypt in order to go into it. But the goal wasn't to get out. In fact, there were two generations that did get out, the young generation and then the adult generation. Both generations got out, but only one generation got in. So one generation missed the whole point. They missed the whole point. So if you got out but you didn't get in, now I'm talking about sanctification. If you got out, if you stopped doing this, stopped doing that, you separated yourself from all this other stuff, but you never got in to the Holy of Holies. You never got into to the place of the glory. You never got in to the place of manifest presence. Then I hate to tell you this, you never really got sanctified. You're in there because sanctification is a walk or a process of coming out that you may. That you may enter in, simply put. So I'm telling you, if you want it, so the place of hunger, the way that happens is through an appropriate, proper, bona fide sanctification process. You separate yourself from that you might enter into, and that's what creates the hunger for that. Are you listening? I'm talking about how do you create safety. I don't have the hunger in my life. I believe I should, or that I used to have, or whatever it is that you're saying. How do you get there? This is one of the ways. First, it's a God thing. All right, so you call upon him for that, or create that within my soul. Open that up onto me. And then another great way of doing it is through sanctification. I've told people many times that my mother and dad have gone on to be with the Lord, but my mother, how would you do this? My mother was an FBI Really? Yeah, you know, that's a full-blooded Italian. So now she's a heavenly being. So I don't know what that nationality is. But she was an FBI, all right. And my grandmother and grandfather were born and raised in Italy. Three of my aunts and uncles also were born in the old world, and then they came to North America, and the rest of the family was born here. And my mother was born in U.S. soil. She was one of the first that were born U.S. side. So my mother, she cooked great Italian food. I mean, great Italian food. But I understand what great Italian food is. That is the reason why that I am right now developing a Facebook page that me and other Italians across the United States can come together for a class action suit and sink the Olive Garden and Pizza Hut, because we know that is pure deception and has nothing to do with Italian food whatsoever. It's absolutely foul. But that's beside the point. We're moving along from that. But my mom made great food, and not just great Italian food, because when she married, my father, who was from Alabama. And then during the war, she moved down there with the Everett family, and she learned how to cook. That's when girls learn how to cook at home. She learned how to cook. Did I say that out loud? She learned how to cook from my grandmother Everett. So I tell people this, that I grew up eating grits for breakfast and lasagna for dinner. I got the best of both worlds. And Mom made great food. Not fancy food, but I mean absolutely fabulous. Fabulous food. And when I would come home, I remember from high school in particular, when I came home at the middle of the day, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I thought I was a Bible character. I thought I was Esau, and I was starving to death, and if I didn't eat right now, I wouldn't make it until the evening, and was willing to sell my soul for anything whatsoever. So Mom would warn me, because she had a particular little place in the kitchen where she kept, you know, crackers and cookies and things like that. And she would say, "Now, Dale, whatever you do, don't go to the snack drawer and start eating a bunch of stuff out of there, because we're going to eat at 4:30. And it was only like about 3 o'clock, you know. But 4:30, my dad was a plant worker, and he got off, and he was home at 4:30. And again, we're talking old style folks, and so dinner was on the table. Well, we didn't say we're eating at 4:30, but you didn't really eat till 5:15. Let me tell you, when my dad pulled in the driveway, the plates were on the table, and the food was hot and ready to be served. As soon as he sat down, the food was there. So when she said we're eating at 4:30, that wasn't like kind of 4:30, but it might be 6, you know. So here we are. We're at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think I'm ready to eat my hand off, because I'm a teenager. And she says, no, don't eat all that stuff, because we're going to be eating at 4:30. And if you eat all that stuff in that snack drawer, you will not be hungry when you get to the table. So here's the deal. Sometimes I did it, and sometimes I didn't. And so I'd sit down, and I'd maybe, you know, ate a, you know, whatever, a couple of Twinkies or whatever, something, you know. And then when you sit down at that table, and I can promise you there wasn't anything in that snack drawer that was going to be anywhere near the meal that lady was going to put on that table. But when you're not hungry, you know what you do? You just kind of pick at it and push it around on your plate. It's not that it's bad. It's not that you think it's bad. You just don't want it. Are you understanding what I'm saying yet? What I'm saying is simply this. If you want to be hungry for the things of God, then you're going to have to discover what it really means to live a sanctified life. Because it is part of the act of separation from that will create within you a hunger unto. And sometimes the reason why we're not hungry for the things of God is because we're already full. And we haven't filled our life with great things. Now, we may not be filling our life with poison. We may not be sin. Sometimes we think, well, if it's not sin, then I don't have to separate myself from it. And I'm not even going to address the matter of sin. I would hope, maybe I should, but I would hope that's a no-brainer. I would hope you already understand that sin will definitely dull you to the things of God. And not just dull you, it'll kill you. It really will. But what I want to say to you, hoping that you already understand that factor, what sometimes we don't understand is that there are things that are there, that are present, that are not necessarily sinful. They're not wrong. They're not disapproved by the household of God. But you can only contain so much. And when you fill your life so much with stuff, the activities of this life, you come to the point that it just burdens you down, fills you up, slows you down to a point that you have literally no drive for who he is. And sometimes it's going to take a level of sanctification, and in some cases, a high level of sanctification to separate us from, in order that it will create within us the proper level of hunger to enter into. Being hungry for the things of God is not just getting super spiritual and on the edge of weird, or going to some great revival somewhere that also can do that for you, but I'm telling you, it doesn't always take that. Sometimes what it takes is a sanctified life. To do that very thing, and you can create a hunger within you. Now, let me give you one last idea about how hunger can be created, and I say that this surely isn't exhaustive, but I think it's enough. The first one was, it's a God thing, remember, call upon him. It's God that works in you, both the will and to do. The second one is to be sanctified, set yourself apart unto him. It will create a hunger. And the third one is and I kind of alluded to it just a moment ago, I'm going to call it the taste and see factor. The taste and see factor. Now, my wife is in the room right now, and she's mostly known for her music. In churches, anyhow, she's known for her music because of that is the thing that people see. Unless she was pastor's wife here and then was doing life with you, then she would also be known for her cooking, because Deb is a great cook. In fact, our kids, when we all get together and visit, now, obviously, depending on where we're at, we're kind of foodies, you know. So, if we're in a place where, they've lived, then there's always the restaurants they want to go to. When they all come back, they've all moved away from the Metroplex, you know. That's a temporary lapse of judgment. But they have, and so when they come back, there are, you know, there's always certain places that, we all want to go to, we all want to eat, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. So, but after a day or two of that, then someone's going to say, and it will generally be my son, he will say, and this is how they refer to it, her name is Debbie, you know, they'll say, now we want some Deb food. Some Deb food. They want home cooking. They want what she prepares. And oftentimes that's above anything, any other choice of what they have, because she's a great cook in that. When we were all traveling as a family, because now the ministry's been long. I've been in ministry for about 38 years now, I believe it is. And we traveled together. Let's see. We were together for 10 years on the road. The kids came in the last little bit of that, and we had a big truck and trailer that we lived in, like 60 feet in length, and so she would cook. And when you got little kids like that, and you're doing service every night, multiple nights a week, we'll put it that way. We did open-end meetings. We go Sunday, Tuesday through Friday each week is what we did. So you have to have a routine, and not every parent in here understands what I'm saying. So sometimes what it would be is, as Deb would call out, I had an office in the back of the trailer as well, also in our bedroom, and she would call out and say, it's time to eat. Everybody say, it's time. It's time to eat, is what she'd say. Now, and sometimes when she'd call that out, I wasn't hungry. I wasn't hungry at all. But I understood. I understood. Hey, this guy's got two brain cells that are firing. I understood. We had two kids. We had to get bathed, had to get dressed, had to get ready for church. We had to get them fed. Everybody, you couldn't just like fix a meal whenever someone decided they wanted to eat. So you had to have schedule in there, and reasonably so. And I would respond to her and say, all right, I get it. All right, you know, it's time to eat. But I just want to say right up front, so that you don't start wondering, questioning, or thinking something off, that I'm not hungry. So I may not eat much. And if I don't eat much, don't think I'm disapproving in the meal. Don't think I don't appreciate what you've just prepared. Please don't think that I don't enjoy what you've got in front of me. But I'm just not hungry right now. So please take that into account. But I understand we have to get things done. We want to be able to get to church tonight. I would sit down at that table, and I believed what I had just said. Absolutely. And it was so until I took the first bite. And after I took the first bite, something woke up on the inside of me and said, whoa, hey, this is pretty good. And next thing you know, I not only finished everything that was on my plate, but I was doing the thing I knew better to do, and that is going for a second and maybe even a third of something. Here's what created the hunger. Yeah. taste and see. You know, I told you that I measure the temperature of my spirituality by the hunger level within my life. Sometimes there isn't that drive to pray like I should or come before His Word. And I give you a real extreme basic example. There's many other things that would express hunger within one's life. But let's all say we could relate at least to those two right up front. And so I don't necessarily whip myself and say, oh, God, did you backslide? What happened? Did you slip into the well hole of the abyss? What's wrong with you? But what I do is I come up to the table. And sometimes it's just entering that place to meet with Him when I don't necessarily feel like it. Something happens in that moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I don't come into this place busting with a song to worship with, but something happens when the song of worship starts being sung. Something arises from within. And it isn't mediocre. It draws me right into it. It draws me into fullness. Sometimes beyond what I expected to do, because now I'm finishing what's on my plate, but I'm reaching for more. And yet more. So I found that if I'm a little dry, or maybe not dry, maybe I just say, but I want to hunger deeper. I want to go beyond. I know some of the keys that are involved in that. I call upon Him. Would you take me to the place that I don't even know how to find? Can you show me yourself in ways that I've never even imagined you could be? Sometimes it takes a point of shutting oneself off and maybe doing it repetitively and doing it thoroughly. Just shut away. What are you doing? I'm just shutting down here to create something here within my life. Very possibly, it's just a matter of entering in. That's the reason why that we will do that when the house of the Lord is open. That's the reason why I often, even though I travel as much as I do, probably over 300 days of the year, yet when there's something going on, they're going to be doing a healing service at the church in Chicago where we're at right now on a Thursday night. I don't get back a lot of times till mid to late afternoon on Thursday, depending on how the flight schedules go. It can go into evening, but rarely not. But I'm pretty wiped by the time I get home. My travel days will be anywhere from 10 to 14 hours. Most any time that I do travel, from the time I will actually get up, get to the airports, get through the securities, all the rest, do the flights, land in Chicago, which is depending on the time I arrive in Chicago, the traffic will be an hour if you somehow have worked a minor miracle to 2 hours, which would be more toward the norm, to get back. And when I found out they were having a healing service, I said, oh, I absolutely want to be there. I said, why? Are you sick? Well, I can always have more health, but that's not really yet. I said, I want to be in a place where the power of God is moving within the kind of dimension that I function in. I want to see how it's moving there in that ministry, because that's how you tap into stuff. You watch what's happening with others. You draw near unto God. He draws near unto you, and you start seeing a wider bandwidth than what you have picked up on before. So I want, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Unless the flight gets me in terribly late, I will be there in that place. Why? Because that's one of the ways, guys. That's one of the ways that you will create another level of hunger within your life that will drive you to a place. It'll get you past the stuff that nothing else will do. Amen. The hunger of God. Wow. Would you stand with me all over the house right now? There are so many things I thought about today, and I discussed that with your pastor, even in reference to what we would approach. My chief desire is to pray over you in this sense. I want to pray for a hunger and a thirst. I want to take that first idea that it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I'm going to ask if anyone would tap heaven with me right now. Would you reach out to heaven with me right now? Could we call upon Him? I don't know what you think it means to be hungry. If you think that means that you got to, you know, I don't know what you think, but if you think it means to be bizarre or whatever, that's not necessarily true, although a lot of times it can be expressed that way. I've seen some people sit down at a table and pick up a piece of food and eat that thing, and I was embarrassed the way they responded. Wow, that's really good. That's just great. Then if that's how you want to respond, fine. But I do want something deep within your soul, and I want something that'll be life-changing unto you, all right? And if you're hungry for that, come on, if you'll even open your spirit unto that, let's reach out to him right now. Because that's the single cry of my heart right now, Lord. For me, for my household, you hear me say it often, would you come and manifest yourself unto us? There's something about you that is so lovely, that is so desirable, that is so absolutely amazing. It is so demanding of focus that everything else goes into the background. Nothing else looks bright. Nothing else looks important. Definitely nothing else would look intimidating or create fear within us. But there is a hunger that you put within our soul. You're lovely beyond description. Beauty is more than what this tongue can begin to comprehend. You are the awesome God, the high and exalted one. There's no one like you, no one beside you. There's literally no one who compares. You're the light of the world. How I call upon you for it. Would you shine your light upon us? Would you show us the incredible loveliness of what you are? Would you manifest yourself unto us? For you there is no lack. And you, oh God, there is no disappointment. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and fire. Your power, oh God, may it burn within our soul. May it create within us an unending hunger, a thirst for you. It'll cause us to pursue, get past every bump, get past every barrier. Push us back and over the top of every hurt. Pray that in the wonderful name of Jesus. If you're receiving that, would you say amen? And if you will, can you just pray together with me in the Holy Ghost for a moment? If you have that spiritual gifting, please let the well of God, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Horihe shahana makatai. Ishi epon rakosakutai. Mekori amando resakalai. Eshe elo orishiti mekirio ko on de eshe ele basai mehiko ma rakorakuto. If you've not yet received that gift, you can receive it right here, right now. If you're not born again, you can be filled with His Holy Ghost right now. He'll give you new birth and fill you with His Spirit all at the same time. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. May the water well of the Holy One flood you. Seta raba raba shakomalakiti. Amen. 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 Come on, guys.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. Lord, you're all I want.
Jesus.
Help me know you.
Help me know you are near. know, refreshing comes in many ways. Sometimes it comes as the rain of heaven upon us, and the Bible gives us that picture that it will come that in that form or way. But Jesus did say that out of your belly would flow rivers. He talked first about, if anyone's thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And he was speaking of that new birth. But then he spoke about the Holy Ghost that would come. And John made it very clear that that's exactly what he was speaking of. Once you drink in of his presence, then he said, out of your belly, out of your innermost being, from deep within will flow rivers. Sometimes the third thing that you're hungry for and thirsting for, you're looking here. Well, it's going to come from over here, but actually it's not. It will rise up from within here. That's where he dwells. It comes a word of refreshing. It comes from within. It's not that you separate yourself and become an island now unto yourself, but you need to look for God, not just over here and over there, but you need to look for God right here. You look for that time of refreshing as you take that time in the Holy Ghost and begin to pour out worship unto him. You'll find out that you're opening up a well. And there's a river that will break forth from that well. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's how it works. There's a river that you're tapping into. That's what's happening a lot of times when people dig wells. They're tapping into an underground river. There's a river that's flowing within you. Dig that well in the Spirit. Worship him in that way. Begin to bless him and watch that the thirst of your soul, sometimes it comes as the rain of heaven from without, but sometimes it comes up as the river of God from within. Work it. You've got the tool in you. Come on. You've got the gift of God in you. Work it. Don't live in a dry and thirsty state. Don't live in a malnutrition, weak state. Create that hunger within your soul and feed on his word and be filled with the Holy Ghost. It'll transform your life. It'll bring to you that which truly satisfies. Huh? Truly satisfies. Praise God. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you. Thank you so much for your kindness, your attention. You may be seated for just a moment. Pastor's going to come. I think he's going to receive an offering for our ministry. Thank you for your kindness, every one of you. Any time we've been here, you've given nicely to help us live. This is how we live.
Amen.
There you go.
Good word. I think you've heard about digging wells, haven't you? I didn't tell him that. And I haven't written that book yet, so he hadn't read it. So we're digging that well. Hunger. We want to be that church in Capernaum. One of the marks of that church in Capernaum, they were hungry. They were hungry for bread. They were hungry for that water of life. And they ate of that bread, and they drank of that water. Jesus was in the house. Amen. How many of you know Jesus is in the house? Let me say it again. Jesus is in the house. We just need to get hungry for him. We just need to get thirsty enough for him to open up and receive from him. And we're just going to keep receiving, aren't we? Amen. How many of you received that word for Vision Church this morning? Amen. Put your hands together and thank the Lord for it right now. Thank you, Lord. We receive that word. We accept it. Make us hungry. Stir it up in us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
You know, I didn't even think about it, Pastor, because I didn't come here with this focus. But we were with you in the earlier part of the year, were we not?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that this church then definitely sowed seed into our international crusades, our giving. And so can I just give you a little update of what happened? In those meetings. I mean, you sowed the seed. You might as well hear.
We're a part of it. We want to
you
hear.
You bet. Hear some of the harvest. Well, so far this year, now some of this has been in the U.S., thank God. But so far this year, we have prayed with an identifiable 12,000 people to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Hallelujah.
About 200 of them are U.S. side. The rest were in the African crusades that we've done since I've last seen you. In one single service, we had in Tanzania over 1,000 people receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then in Kenya, we had a service where we had just a little over 2,500 receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And putting it together with our other crusades, we have had so far up to date over 4,500 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost this calendar year so far. And you've sowed definite seed into that. And our last Kenyan crusade, which was the last African crusade I did, which was in August of this year, in addition to the thousands that came into the kingdom, and the many that were filled with the Holy Ghost, and we had, of course, great healing miracles that took place. We had the biggest harvest yet of girls coming out of prostitution into safe homes and education. We had 62 girls that were taken out of human trafficking. Can you praise God for that? Your seed helped me go there and do those very things. And so they're out, they're in the homes, they've got their health care being taken care of, education being given them. One of the girls had been HIV positive for 10 years, and she's been fully examined since her conversion. And the doctors found her in the Nakuru Hospital to be HIV negative. There is no evidence of any AIDS virus in her whatsoever. Whatsoever.
Thank you, Lord.
So anyhow, the seed that you've sown that has helped us do what we've done so far this year has not been a wasted seed. Many have come into the kingdom. Many have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Many have been, so many delivered from devils. So many that were set free from the demonic. In fact, we have a tent that we set up in the open air crusades. It's not for the people, because you can see from the pictures, you would never have it. You couldn't find a tent that big to be able to put people on. But we do have a tent off to the side, and it's not for the VIPs, you know, or anything like that. It's for those that are demon possessed, because the demon possessed will begin to erupt from the moment I begin to preach. Many of you have been in our healing services where people get healed sitting in the seats. When that healing anointing runs through the crowd, the demonized go nuts. They just go nuts. When it happens, and we'll have anywhere from, looks like, from 1 to 4 or 5 at a time that will appear to be going into a grand mal seizure. Can you imagine trying to preach your Sunday morning message and about every 5 to 8 minutes someone goes into a grand mal seizure in the seats? And that's what it looks like. So we grab them up, we haul them into that tent, and they cast the devils out. But our last meeting in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, where we had the tent, we changed the name of the tent, because we had seen so many incredible amount of people that have been set free from demonic power that we said we were no longer calling it the tent of the demon possessed. We're calling it the tent of freedom, because they go in bound, but they come out free. Isn't that great? Go in bound, but they come out free. Praise God. So anyhow, thank you for your giving. You help us do what we do here in the United States, where Jesus is needed too. And we have the same things here, just not the same kind of crowds. But we do see the blind see, the deaf hear, right here in America. We see crippled people walk right here in America. And sometimes we even see pastors that have gotten healed right here in America. And people born of the Spirit every week. We see people filled with the Holy Ghost right here in America. Last week in Pennsylvania, we had a half a dozen filled with the Holy Ghost. The week before that, we had 15 filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus does the same good things right here. We had someone last week, a lady in the church that had a disease that caused her to lose 100% of her hearing in one ear. And during the preaching, God opened her ear up and gave her back her hearing. And it was an explosive moment in the house, because everybody knew how long she'd been that way and how that Jesus had healed her. So it works right here at home. But thank you for the sowing of seed that helps me do it here in America week after week. Without the giving of God's people, it wouldn't happen. But if you sow seed and say, well, I wonder what took place, well, I don't know. He always does more than what I think. He does. He always does more than what I think. In fact, can I tell you this? When people got the Holy Ghost in the Kenyan crusade, now, this has been the result of a lot of history there. We've worked there for 10 years, so we've got great favor all the way up to the presidency. All the way up. We have folks in Parliament, and the Vice President has been in three of our crusades, and God's given us huge favor in the prison system. So we get to go into the penitentiaries and minister the word of the Lord to hundreds, and actually some in the Nakuru penitentiary, there can be between 2,000 to 3,000 men at one time that are in there. We've water baptized over 900 men. in the new Nakuru prison alone. We've got a Bible school in the Nakuru prison, a video Bible school with an attending pastor that comes in and handles that. And the same for Naivasha that God has given us, which are two of the huge penitentiaries in the country of Kenya. And when I preached on the gift of the Holy Ghost that day, it was aired into the prison, and it was required watching for every inmate. Required watching for every inmate. And this is what the chaplain, let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Can you hold the mic for me? I decided to take mine off because I thought I was done. If I can't give you the exact, I'll give you at least the concept of what took place. All right, let me just say, and I can find the details later. When we got through with the service, where hundreds had received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the word came back to us that in the Nakuru prison alone, over 1,000 men received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Wow.
We had a very similar, it was several hundred in the Naivasha prison. And in one of the other smaller prisons, we had over 200 men get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Prison guards received the baptism of the Holy Spirit over that live broadcast that was taking place. And it was aired into the homes of thousands, literally thousands of people across Kenya. One of the radio stations, we had to pay for the airing of this, one of the radio stations that we put it out on said that they got, you know how like on Facebook we'll do a like if they watch something, they said they got 90,000 likes to the programming. And they told the pastor, because we had to pay a few hundred dollars to put that out, they said our ratings have gone through the roof. We've never seen 90,000 likes in response to anything we've ever aired. So now they have given him 2 hours of free airtime. Every Sunday to communicate the gospel. They said, if this is the kind of response we're getting, we got to have you on every Sunday. So I could go on and on. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your help. The seed you're sowing is not being wasted. It's producing great fruit. Amen.
I'm going to call upon the ushers to come to the front. We're going to have a word of prayer over the offering. And if you can go online to Easy Tithe. If you don't have your ability here to do it, you can do it at home later. And there's a mark there for Dale Everett. There's an account you can give into. If you have give cash, everything, go in. Any checks written out to Vision Church in this offering, maybe note them for Dale Everett. We'll make sure that that's a seed well sown. Amen? Lord, we just love you. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord with us this morning, the sweet ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the stirring of the Holy Spirit down in the depths of our soul, becoming a fire, bringing hunger and thirst where maybe it's been missing for a while. Lord, we thank you that we can partner and reach around the globe. This is what part of our worldwide vision of reaching out. And we just ask, Lord, that you would bless the gift and the giver. Multiply it. Make it effective, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. It won't take them long to circulate back through you. I can have you stand to your feet. How many of you can still give, hand out something as you're standing to your feet? May challenge those ushers. They need special training for the person who's standing to their feet as they give. But I think they can handle it. As we stand to our feet, let me just speak a blessing over you. May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you. And may the power of the Holy Spirit settle upon you, hover upon you, oscillate, move in a frequency upon your life to stir up a hunger and a thirst so powerful. Maybe one that's been forgotten and one you've longed for. And may it be so. And may it be powerfully stirred in you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless us as we go. Remember tonight at 6 o'clock, you can get the address from some of the documentation out in the lobby. We'd love to see you in our 4 or 5 churches getting together and hear more ministry tonight at 6 o'clock at the Leo Adams Middle School in Hazlett. Lord bless you as you go.